Welcome back to Race Nuts Podcast, episode 25. It's kind of going to be a continuation of 24 in a sense of the preview side of things for supercars.
Bit of a part two, but we like the numbers, so we're going to call it 25 anyway. Up,
make ourselves feel good that we're putting out these podcasts. Still don't know if anyone's listening or anything, but we're here.
I don't think they are. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is it's episode 25. We're back to really finish off our preview of the 25 season after it all went absolute shit last week.
Issues happened, which is okay. Yeah, it happens, but we can solely blame Dan for not correctly charging his phone that he was hotspotting.
No, the phone was charged. The phone was on the charging port. Just the hotspot burns that much energy out of it while streaming and doing it all.
Uses more of
it. Just caught up with it.
It's recharging.
Yeah, because I had to really nurse that thing to get the upload complete. Yeah. Like, I mean, proper, like, my phone was cooking from the amount of power I was pumping into it. Just to keep the thing alive.
Now we're back on good old stable Wi-Fi, so... Here we are.
Yep. Well, I am. You're still with Dodo, so your argument was stable.
Mate.
It did take a full 24 hours for your thing to upload last week.
That was such a long... And we were fucking yapping for that episode. So I think it just had a lot to fucking upload. Like, it normally has that much to upload, but, like, it was that much denser in a sense because we were fucking yapping so much. Mm.
I don't think that's how that works, but anyway.
More upload, I reckon.
I think we'll kick off with some news that we didn't have prior to last week's episode. Starting with Richard Stanaway's race number. He will run the 62.
Dan and I both entered a competition thing for this. Also, I'm just going to fuck my light on because I realise I don't have my light on, so I might go blind here for a second.
Okay, bud.
Got a bit going on here.
You'll be like me. I got an eye test yesterday, and they did something where they took a photo of the back of my eye. And I was telling Aaron about this earlier, like, properly blind for each side for at least 3 to 4 minutes. Like, proper. Looked in the mirror, and, my eyes are open, but I can't see shit. Like, I did one side at a time. Like, did one side, then went in a different test, then went to the other side, so I wasn't completely fucked, but spooky. So, Rick's going to run the 62 Premier Racing. This frustrates me so much I didn't figure this, because, of course, 62 is just 31 plus 31. Race teams often like to run some symmetry, such as, like, you know, the 5 and the 6 and the 56 and the 55, or the 9 and the 99, so it really pisses me off. I did not think of 62, because that makes... way too much sense. And then the next thing... Now, we had murmurings that there was going to be a wild card at Sydney for Cameron Crick by Matt Stone Racing. Cameron Crick does a lot of Super Utes racing and some other categories. Mainly, he was a co-driver last year with Cameron Hill. So, we heard the rumours they were going to do a wild card for him at Sydney. What we weren't expecting is it's going to be a full-on wild card program. For Sydney, for Sydney, the Bend, and Bathurst. So that means there's already 2 wild cards in for the Enduros. And Cameron Crick's going to have a free race solo start, plus the Enduros.
Do we know who he's got with the? Is he just teaming up with one of the people, the established? Blanking hard here.
No, he's got it's a full wild card program, so he's going to be the primary driver. So Madison Racing is going to field 3 cars at Bathurst and the Bend, with a co-driver to be announced in due course. They are doing a big launch on the 12th of February of all 3 cars. Oh no, so not all 3. I think Cameron Hill, Nick Percat's car gets launched in late January with a sponsor in Sydney.
Yeah.
And then the the number 4 of Cameron Hill and the Cameron Crick livery, and I presume the number as well, will be revealed at a later date on the 12th.
Okay. Yeah. We do also have the Erebus have announced their livery reveal.
They're doing an open house livery reveal.
Open house, as in open house at someone else's house, YTG Bespoke, which I visited just prior to the 2024 Australian Grand Prix, as they have a huge mural of F1 legends, essentially. Like Lewis, Daniel Ricciardo, Niki Lauda, and Lauda. Sorry.
Yeah, you will be sorry. The man won 3 world titles, well, mate.
I don't know what you want me to say.
He's named properly. That's what I want you to say. Properly. He's named correctly.
I've lost my zest and tolerance for you this evening already. and that is... I might send Dan some clips to edit up and shit. I'll show you guys what it's like there if this becomes a clip. They've got a... YTG Bespoke are basically is they sell high-value cars and, like, high-end cars. They've got, like, Shane Warne's old McLaren or something in there as well. Yeah, it's just a real exotic garage, if you like. And that's where Erebus are holding theirs. Just on the note of livery reveals there.
Yeah, going back to livery reveals, the 25th we'll see the Cameron, sorry, I just had it right in front of me. On the 25th we'll see the Cameron Hill car, the number 4, not the number 10. And then on the 11th of January, we'll see the rest of the MSR squad launch their liveries. Team 18's having a full-on launch. We'll be live-streaming all that, I presume, for both their cars and their new factory too on the 12th or the February. So the pre-season's already coming together. I think it's the 9th of February, that Erebus date, isn't it? I haven't done it written down here.
That sounds... I'll double-check the calendar.
Sounds about right, Sunday the 9th of February. Yeah. And then something a little bit different ahead of the season start. My sense is going to be Track to Town set up on the... Let me just get the correct date here. Speedcap wants to stop showing me 400 ads for cars I can't afford. Dear God. These quotes are great, Speedcap. They'll be great the fucking day they're doing it.
Articles, mate.
I can't. I got to rely on Speedcap because no one will talk to me. I'm scheduled right for the Sunday prior to the... Oh, okay. You're going to give me the Sunday prior to the 21st and 23rd. I'm going to pull out a fucking calendar. What's the Sunday prior to the 21st and 20 Feb of... Sunday. 16th. So on the 16th of February, the entire Supercars squad that will be competing at Sydney... So it'll be all 24 regular cars plus Cameron Crick's wildcard entry will drive across the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Well, there you go.
So that's interesting. Not the first time race cars, Supercars, I think I've done that once before with a couple of cars.
Yeah, I can see Speedcast throwback, and it just had one car going across at 80k's an hour. Please escort.
Was that a Pepsi Max car?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, because I think... Well, I know for a fact, and I've been looking for the clip for ages, Top Gear Australia, which didn't live for very long, I ran for 3 seasons. I remember watching an episode of... They had one of the presenters driving Frosty's championship-winning Pepsi Max car through... It would have been through Melbourne, because obviously Tickford are based in Melbourne. And the idea was like, oh, how convenient could a supercar be to a regular car? And surprisingly, not very convenient. It was a horrible fucker in the drive through the traffic, so I wonder if they did that as well, but that obviously might be a Melbourne thing. So, yeah, I think that's all we really got for coming out for the season launches so far. The pre-season test kicks off on the 19th of February. I believe that's a Wednesday, 16, 17, 18, that'll be a Wednesday prior to the season starting. At SMP, for the first time, all teams will be at the one test. not the split. Queensland yeah. Racing and Winton. Makes sense. Also, it's 3 days prior to the event starting. Yeah. And by the sense of the teams have got to be in town for that track to town on the Sunday anyway. So that's sorted. Let's get into the bowl petitions for this upcoming season. You want to kick us off, mate?
To. Just let me pull them up. As last time we were discussing, we've got the Sprint Carb Enduro Cup and all that this year. So we have a bit more room to hedge bets on, I suppose. So my bold predictions for 2025 are Sprint Cup winner, Chaz Mostert. Enduro Cup winner, Will Brown and co. Who will make the top...
Who will make the finals, basically. That's how it's meant to be written. Top 10 make the top 10 into the finals.
Yeah, I left that question...
In no particular order.
I left that question blank because I didn't read it right. So I'm going to move on to question 4. Championship winner this year. I actually picked Brock Feeney to go championship winner. I think he's solid for it. And as we discussed off mic before, off air, he's there. He's right there. He just has to get it done.
You don't come second twice by mistake.
Continuing on, will the finals be a success? Yes or no? I wrote, in terms of creating a pressure cooker for the drivers, teams, everyone involved, yes. And obviously marketing probably will be, yes. So I think it will be a success in that way. Will I like it? I don't have a clue. I reckon I will vote. Moving on to question 6, I've got who will be the rookie of the year. I think Kai Allen will come to terms with it all pretty well and put on a show and just have a good... he doesn't need to go winning, but just have a good, consistent season where he provides.
You just got to outdo our rookies.
Just cut laps and good, fast laps, and that's all he has to do. Who else will defect to Toyota? I think we did have a poll on this yesterday. I'm going to go with Erebus Motorsport. I think there's so much chop and change happening in that factory right now that they might... I don't know, having Toyota is a big name. Like, you see it on cricket, football, everything.
The question is, will Toyota want them?
That's a different question. That isn't on my list of questions. I'm on and throw the ball back in your court, mate.
Right, mate. We'll kick off with Sprint Cup winner for me, Will Brown. I think we'll carry the points lead all the way through that momentum. Enduro Cup winner, Cam Waters, like you. And obviously, not to say the Enduro Cup means much for the co-driver, but his co-driver will be Frosty this year. Who will make the top 10 finals in no particular order? I've gone for Will Brown, Chaz Mostert, Cameron Waters, Matt Payne, Brock Feeney, Brody Kostecki, Ryan Wood, Kai Allen, Anto Di Pasquale, and Adrian Heigarner. Andre Heigarner. I almost did it again. Andre. I know I've had a few comments about it. It's Andre, not Adrian. I know I'm dyslexic. I cannot read. Championship winner, I think Will Brown's going to go back-to-back. He's just got the momentum about him. He's just got that fuck in him right now. He's in the prime of his career. He just gets up in the morning and just fucks. Rookie of the year. Will the finals be a success? My answer is big yes. So I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to work really well. I think it's going to bring a lot of excitement and... I suspect there will be niggling points. I think a lot of fans are going to take a little bit while to get used to how it works, which is all good. Motorsports is complicated in so many ways, and this just makes it a little bit more complicated, but I think if you can wrap your head around the finals in NRL or AFL or NFL in the States. If you can wrap your head around that and conferences and all that, you can wrap your head around this. I do suspect there's going to be some niggling issues, but yeah, I expect that with all things. One of the big failures of Gen 3 was wasn't really marketed properly of this is a new product and it's going to have issues, obviously, especially when it's a bit underbaked due to the circumstances come up in. So big yes is the answer out of me for that being a success. Rook of the Year, like you're going Kyle Allen. I was a Super 2 champion in the year they probably shouldn't have won. Super 2 lost the title in a year they probably should have won. Looking at all the others, I think Kyle's going to be the most stable one there. And the next team to defect to Toyota, I think it's going to be Team 18 and Grove. I think we'll roll into 26 and 27. So it wouldn't surprise me if one team announces it but delays the actual move to 27. Yeah. I think we're going to have three teams on the grid, and I think it's going to be WAU, Team 18, and Grove Racing. Grove's already had some pressure between them and Ford over parity and all the other issues. And Grove's already quite a large team of big racing aspects. They race Porsche. And I think this year they might have brought a Mercedes to Bathurst. Mercedes AMG, I could be wrong with that. So brand for them does not really matter. They want to race what works. And Team 18's looking for something to shake it up. Now Charlie's had a bit of a taste of success with the first win a couple of years ago. And he, again, not really a team of a brand affiliation, just wants to race what will work. So I think we'll move into a little bit of news. There's not much to talk about. I think the big one is the four-course caution rule from last year that has been scrapped.
I think that's for the better. It was too easy.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Because if I'm correct...
It was too easy to gain.
It didn't close pit lane, did it?
Yeah. No, it didn't. And that was one of... Scott Pye on his podcast was saying that if they made it, the pit lane had to close. Because that's how... Yeah, that's how Triple Eight won so easily, is because they could just afford to wait for the full course yellow, and then they didn't have to double stack the whole CNN 500. So it's a mainly an issue in those longer races, but yeah. But that whole thing of close the pit lane during safety cars, during full course yellow, yes, but then also where it gets messy is, what if you got damage? What do you have suspected damage? You know, what if you're coming because you feel like your tyre's got a deflation, it doesn't, it just might have a bit of shit on it, and now you're down a lap and probably going to cop a penalty for stopping unnecessarily. Yeah, it gets messy, so I think keep it open during normal safety cars, and that gives us the excitement of double stacks. But piss off the field course caution. I'm all about it for safety, but we saw multiple issues with it, especially at Sandown, where we had teams gaining it. Fair enough, you read the rules properly, you can gain the rules, that's part of the sport. But yes, I saw our drivers struggling when to pull up.
Yeah.
And we saw a few nose to tails because of that.
I do remember that now, actually,
A bit of testing at Bathurst. Obviously, there's a big push to get Bathurst right this year. So, during the 12-hour, two supercar teams, I presume this will be... I'm just skimming through the article now, but I pretty much can guarantee it's going to be DJR and Triple Eight's going to bring a car to the 12-hour to each run to get some parity in. And the one thing noise about this, more testing, more parity testing. How they, bro, you want more testing. You want parity, you want things to be equal, you want as much data as possible, you want to test the living fuck out of it. If you want it done properly, you want it... That's what they're like, we shouldn't have to be doing testing this part. And yes, you should. NASCAR tests the living shit out of their cars. And they get it pretty within the window to a degree. There's still a parity issue, but you're never going
to
get it.
You have to,
There'll be a tolerance. There's always going to be. And some cars do better on short. Some do better on big tracks. Some do better on road courses. But this whole thing of, there's too much testing. Have they not got it right properly? Like, no, man. You want them to be testing all the fucking time. You want them to be almost taking knowledge from every session.
Absolutely. Into that.
yeah.
All right.
I think that's all that's really on that's worth mentioning. I'm just having a quick last skim through here. We saw the first photos of Brody Kostecki in DJR Red.
Looks good, looks happy, healthy.
Yeah, it looks like he's dropped a couple of kegs too.
Oh, yeah?
The bloke looks fit. Which, Scott Pollard's also, I don't mean to keep referencing Scott Pollard, but the guy is great for insight. He was even saying, like, there's drivers that are all fit as fuck, and some just don't look like it, because the specific demands. But he was bringing up a story about Frosty used to train with Essendon when he was at Tickford, and he was saying that when he first started doing it, everyone thought it was a joke. Like, he would just be weak as piss, and then he would keep up with the footy players. And that's when sort of people that organised it realised, like, oh, fuck, these blokes are actually fit. It's not just sitting in the car and driving.
Fucking hell. Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, mate. Do what? It's hot as balls. We're recording this on Tuesday here in Melbourne. Yeah. I think today topped out at 43, where I was working.
Yeah.
That's what it said in the car when I went to go home. It said 43 outside.
I didn't even know how hot it was. I was just in a steel cage all day. So, yeah. Let's call it that. Short, sharp and sweet.
Yeah, let's call this.
Thanks for listening. This is just a short one. Hopefully you can be here for our next one with a bit more energy and zest to it.
Right, mate. Talk to you later.